Until next time.
He is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
That was a scripture that's been screaming at me all week long, saying, say something about me. And it's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. And it simply says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, or the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, and more especially the doers of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. What a powerful, insightful word that God reveals to us to help us understand his will for our lives as relates to relationship with him. One of the things that I believe would be helpful is to look at this verse very closely and carefully and to glean the many messages that this verse yields. When we look at this verse, there are so many things about it that I believe is important, not just for children and youth and young adults, but adults and grandparents and people as a whole to understand what God is saying in this verse. Now, if there ever was a time we need to direct our youth, our children in the way of the Lord, it's now. Satan is no longer waiting until they become young adults to fill their hearts and minds with destruction and devilment and all of the other evils of the world. He's catching them at a younger and a younger age, and he's giving them all of the ammunition they need to live a divisive and depraved life from early on. It is the responsibility of the parents. It is the responsibility of the church. It is the responsibility of the school. It is the responsibility of the community to try and guide our children and our youth in the right way so that they might have the kind of life God desires them. And for the Christian community to introduce all to Christ as early as possible. Isn't it amazing that we don't wait till they get 9, 10, 12 to teach them how to dance? Isn't it amazing that we don't wait till they get that old to teach them how to sit down in front of the television and watch cartoons? And I think, parents, if you hadn't watched cartoons in a while, you might need to take another look, because cartoons ain't what they used to be. Isn't it amazing now how the enemy has accelerated his attack against mankind to now do a frontal attack on our children? And so it's amazing that God didn't print this word the other day. It's been in his word. And it says, remember now. Now, the first thing I want to tell you about this word is that there are three things that I want you to get out of this message minimally. First of all, that God has an expectation of us introducing children to him at an early age. Jesus confirmed that when he said, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." He made clear, unless you humble yourself as this little child, you can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. He made it clear. Notice it was little children starting at a very, very young age, at the age when they're able to understand and comprehend the gospel message. Stop writing our children off like they can't understand Christian stuff, but they can understand carnal stuff. Stop writing our children off as if they could not, if they are hearing and if they are seeing Christian principles put in practice, that they will not mimic even before they understand what's going on, what God requires of them by way of examples in the home and examples among Christian people. Don't think that they cannot pick up on those things. A child learns what they live. You find a child who lives in a proper home, you'll have a proper child. You find a child that's reared up in a dysfunctional home, you'll find a dysfunctional child. They learn what they live. Now listen at this. There are at least three things this verse teaches us that I want you to get. First, when it says, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth," it's important to know God at this point because it's the easiest time. It's the easiest time. It's not only the easiest time, but it's also the wisest time. Not only is it the wisest time, but thirdly, it's the safest time. And as we walk through the text, I'll unfold this so that you'll understand why it's so important, parents, to introduce your children to the Lord at an early age. Grandparents, to make sure that you lead the grandchildren into the path of the Lord at an early age. I said, it is the easiest time. One, it's because it is the time that they will have, listen, before they have major distractions. It's the time before they have major distractions. Now listen, there are so many things, even right now, that children have to distract them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I name one big one, computers. An unsupervised child on a computer that has no parental codes or blocks or locks can mess a child's mind up at a very early age, because children are capable of accessing the entire world by way of the computer. So before all of those things, major distractions happen, introduce them to Christ.
Yes, sir.
But not only before major distractions, but while there are minor demands. Minor demands. Before their lives become crowded with demands of being pulled here, being pulled there, having to do this, having that responsibility, etc. While they're still a child and can enjoy childhood. While they're still innocence. While they're is still purity. Those things are important. That's when you want to introduce that child to Jesus. And then thirdly, when it's the most desirable, when they are young. What does that mean? Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. That's the most desirable time that God says it's the easiest time to capture the heart of a child before it has become hardened.
Yeah.
Dr. Jerry Young tells the story of a minister preaching the gospel and witnessing through the word of God that Jesus Christ desires to come into every heart and live, and telling how if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead and that we believe he came to save our souls and we invite him in, we'll be saved. And after service, the little boy wanted to come to the Lord, but he had some questions. And so after service, he went up to the preacher. He said, "Preacher, I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I have some questions." And he said, "Well, what are your questions, son?" The little boy said, "First, if we believe on Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God and that he died for us and that he rose so that he could be our Savior and we accept him in our lives, we can be saved, right?" And the preacher said, "That's right." He said, "I'm a little boy, right?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Jesus is a grown man, right?" He said, "Yes." He said, "How is it that me being a little boy and Jesus being a grown man wants to come and live in my heart? Won't he stick out?" And the preacher thought about it for a minute and he said, "Yes, son, he will." He said, "But that's exactly what Jesus wants to do. He wants to stick out. He wants people to know that he lives on the inside of you. He's in your walk. He's in your talk. He's in your life. He wants to stick out so people will know Jesus is on the inside of you." And the little boy said, "Then I'll invite Jesus to come live in my heart." Now, you take a little child on the one hand and a 40-year-old man who's never met him on the other hand, who do you think will find it easier to let Jesus in his heart? This child, before he's gotten his life corrupted with distractions and demands and gotten his heart mixed up with the things of the darkness of this world and delight in all of the things that he's tasted of the world and know that he'd have to give all of those up to accept Jesus, or this child who's never known those things? And so it's easiest to introduce a child at a young age. Now listen, it doesn't mean that troubles and trials and tribulations won't come to that child. It doesn't mean that that child won't run into all kinds of disasters and destruction. But what it does means, if those things do come, and they will, that he's already secured his soul. He's already had his name written on the Lamb's Book of Life. It is well. When this life is over, he has a place reserved in heaven with God. So when he says, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth," it's the easiest time. But the record says, "While the evil days come not, or the years draw nigh." And then I want you to see here that this is the wisest time. The wisest time. Before the evil days come. While there's still self-respect, while you still realize that you are a good person, that you can make good decisions, that you're not struck by the things of the world to the point where you're pulled by them, but you have Christian guidance and nurturing, and you desire to do the things that please those who have invested much in you, who lead you to Christ. It's that self-respect you get from being right and doing right. Before the evil days come, also is important to understand, before you begin to seek ruin. How many know when you start growing into teenage years and you become rebellious. Old folk used to call it smelling yourself. You start thinking you your own man and you your own woman and all of this kind of stuff, still living up in mama, daddy house, breathing their air, eating their food, laying in the bed they provided, watching the TV that they provide. Am I talking to anybody in the house here? But yet they think they know it all, and they seek ruin. They go out trying to do it their way. They get with the wrong group. They're enticed by the wrong things. They want to hang out with the wrong crowds. Good girls want thuggish men. Beautiful young girls, untainted yet by the world, don't want a good, smart, intelligent young boy to bring home. He want a tattooed up, ringed up, cut up, messed up, thugged up, grilled up. And you know his intentions are not godly nor right toward that kind of young girl. And when he put his hands on her, all of her innocence, her youth, her purity, all are gone. Will not return the same way she, because of all of the pressures of our society. Bad boy, bad boy. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when the cop comes for you? Bad boy. Oh, they like that. They like a bad boy. But don't you know when that bad boy get in trouble and you with that bad boy, you get in trouble with that bad boy? Here's what blows my mind. Even a bad boy want a good girl. And so there's self-ruin, seeking ruin, seeking it, seeking it. You don't even wait till it come to you. That's why it says before the evil day come not. But then there's something else. And this pertains to, or the years draw nigh, this last part. It's talking about when you're spared regret. Spared regret. You see, if you get in with God early and he starts to shape you and mold you, yes, you're going to have your hiccups, and yeah, you're going to have your issues, and yeah, there'll be times when you have your moments of rebellion, but that will not last long. That will be a part that will have to be dealt with. That's why the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Yeah, that's why we've got to be careful to realize and recognize that we have a responsibility, if we love the children, not to let them have their own way. They don't know the consequences of the price they'll have to pay for the pleasures they want for just a moment. Sometimes folk don't understand just trying it. Girl get pregnant and only tried sex one time. Somebody tries drugs one time and get hooked on it for a lifetime. All of the things that can go wrong and do wrong come when we try those things and we enter into those things and we regret those things as life go on, because one, either we did not listen to good counsel or we did not have good counsel. And so we tried what we thought we wanted to try, do what we wanted to do, be what we wanted to be, until life started showing us that it all costs in the end. Or to give it to you free at first. That's to hook you. Because once they hook you, you'll steal from your mama, you'll steal from anybody, you'll take, you'll rob, you'll even kill to support your habits. Don't care who you have to hurt to get your habit fulfilled. Before you do all of these things that you'll regret in life, spared, listen, regrets. So you don't have to do one crime and spend the rest of your life in jail. Spared regrets. That you get the kind of counsel that you need that'll keep you from being hot-headed and pulling a trigger and taking somebody's life that you can't give back to them. Before you do those things, it's sparing you regrets that you cannot change when you come early and give your life to the Lord. Listen, my brothers and sisters, it then moves on to the last portion of that verse that says, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now let me just before I deal with this part of the verse, let me walk back through the beginning of this verse and break it down another way, if you don't mind. Remember now is a place of priority that God wants in the child's life. The child's life. He's not waiting or desiring to wait till they become old. He wants that place of priority in their lives early. And then he says, thy creator. God wants a position of preeminence in your life. You recognize you are who you are by the grace of God. He created you. He made you. You are, by God's grace, in existence. And he wants a position of preeminence. Listen, in the days of thy youth is the period of purity. He wants you before you become tainted, before you become contaminated, before you become polluted by this world. Listen, while the evil days come not, or the years draw nigh, that's privileged preference. God wants you, listen, make no mistake about it. If you're 99, 100 years old, and never knew Christ, but you hear the gospel and accept Jesus as your Savior, he will save you. The thief on the cross is proof of that. There they hung on either side of Jesus, and the one thief had sense enough to recognize Jesus as Savior and said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. So the Lord will save you at any time in your life, even if it's the last breath of your life. But the privilege of his preference is as a child. As a child. And then when we get to this last part, when it says, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, this is preferred pleasure. Now let me deal a minute with this, because preferred pleasure here is God saying, I want the best of your life. I want to have the best of what I've given you given back to me. I want to use the best of your life for my glory and your good. For the purpose that I have created you, I have brought you into existence, I have prepared for you. I want to use you for the extent of your life so that you will recognize that you are preparing yourself and your life and your rewards for the life to come. And not wait till you've lost the essence of real life to come to the Lord. Not wait until you get to that point where the devil has used you up, worn you out, thrown you away, kicked you to the curb, destroyed your reputation, made you nothing in the sight of society, stripped you and ripped you and barred you and scarred you and made you nothing, and then threw you away because you weren't even no good to him.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Kids will be kids.
Oh, I don't know why they're trying to make a big deal of it. It's just a harmless rite of passage.
If she didn't want to be picked on, she shouldn't wear that thing on her head.
If he's going to dress that way, he's just asking for the extra attention.
It's just a stage. All kids face some bullying. They'll get over it.
That girl, she just brings it on herself. I don't feel bad for her at all.
It's just a stage.
All kids face some bullying.
It's just a stage.
It's just a harmless rite of passage.
Don't validate, eliminate. All students in Louisiana deserve a safe learning environment without the threat of bullying. I'm Debbie Moe, president of the Louisiana Association of Educators. It is up to us as educators, as parents, as adults to stand up on behalf of bullied students. Identify, intervene, and advocate. One caring adult can make all the difference.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. A message from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true?
In month 8 of the I Commit to Pray campaign, the Voice of the Martyrs is praying persecuted Christians are able to rejoice in their suffering. Acts chapter 5 describes how the jealous Sadducees had the apostles arrested because they had been healing the sick and drawing great crowds. The apostles were flogged and ordered not to speak of Jesus in public. Upon their release, they celebrated. Not because of their freedom, they rejoiced, verse 41 says, because God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for his name. For more on the I Commit to Pray campaign, go online to persecution.com.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Divine Word of God, brought to you by Reverend Eugene Stevenson, host.